We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And looks like we are good. Welcome in, everyone, to another installment of The Orange and Blue View. I am one of your hosts, Ron White. On that side of me is my partner in crime. You know him, you love him, as Dylan Von Arts. Dylan, how are you doing today on this great Saturday, my man?
Doing really good. Just bouncing around all this Broncos news we're getting, whether it's the presser, Cortland Sutton, jersey leaks. Are they real? Are they not? You know, but yeah, just happy to be here on another Saturday.
Yeah, likewise. We are about 5 days out from the 2024 NFL draft. So that's great news and exciting in itself. And as Dylan just alluded to, there's always something newsworthy going on in Broncos country, which we will talk about here. But before we get into some of your guys' comments, you guys' questions, Dylan, I want to get your thoughts on what has transpired with Cortland Sutton. So, you know, as most of you know, Cortland Sutton has been skipping voluntary workouts. And, you know, the reason is because of the lack of the guaranteed money as it relates to his contract. So he is set to earn that $13 million base salary this year, but only $2 million of that is guaranteed. So I guess, what do you think of that? Do you think, you know, as far as maybe implications there of him still being with the Broncos, do you think he could be that piece that they may use leverage to trade on draft night? Like, what are your thoughts there as it pertains to the Sutton debacle?
Yeah, Sutton, that $2 million guaranteed is not really keeping him secure here in Denver, and that's part of the reason he's sitting out. And then there's also, I believe, he had ankle surgery.
Yep.
But obviously, money's a big thing. He's 29, little older of a receiver, not ancient by any means, but you know, there's usually a drop off around there, and he just wants some security, I think. And there's no guarantee he's going to be here with just having $2 million guaranteed to him, and it's understandable that he would sit out. And I know some people don't like the thing he's being a diva and whatnot, but at the end of the day, he wants his security, and he wants to know that, hey, like, I'm in this team's future or not. And he could be used as a trade piece. It's very possible. But just like I mentioned, the ankle surgery, it's hard to say what's his value going to be. He is 29. Are they going to extend him to, depending on the team that trades for him? Yeah, there's a few moving pieces there, but ultimately, I don't know if I see him getting traded till maybe day two of the draft. Just like I said, I feel like it might be something like Jerry Jeudy compensation just because of the age and coming off ankle surgery.
Yeah, you know, that it's, I agree with you mostly. You know, I think if Sutton is to be traded, it's definitely going to be a draft night trade, potentially that second day, if you will, of the draft. As far as what he'll get if he's traded, what the Broncos will get, who knows? Now, you know, I know Judy went for, what, fifth and sixth? So, I mean, one can argue that it may be a little higher for Sutton just because of the production. Mm-hmm. You know, he did lead the team in production last year for the Broncos. So, you know, it could be a little bit higher in that regard. But I ultimately think, Dylan, that Sutton does stay. I think Sutton is the type of guy that you need, especially in this receiving corps. Now, I understand, you know, they signed Josh Reynolds. I get Timmy Pease coming back. I understand that. But, you know, you need that person, that presence that's been there for a while, that experience. And, you know, Sutton does provide that. You know, obviously the production, as I just mentioned, is great. So I just don't see him being traded. I feel as though like he would have been traded by now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think this is solely based on the financials. And I get it. Some of it is with that surgery. I think everyone's trying to be cautious when it comes to that. But I do think that, you know, he's wanting financial security. So we'll see how it all shakes out, though. But it's just interesting to see him, you know, skipping those voluntary workouts. All right, guys. So let's see who we have in the chat. We got David Yunkin coming in. Thank you, David, for showing us support as always. He says, "Evening, everyone. Hope everyone has had a great day." Hopefully you have had a great day as well, David. Thank you for coming in, my man. And then we got Kevin Gray coming in. Thank you, Kevin. He says, "Evening, Ron, Dylan, and Scott. Big Mile High salute to Broncos country. Denver Broncos for life, MHH for life." Thank you, Kevin, for coming in. He has one more coming. 1 week to go and no more guessing. Yes. Yes, Kevin, I know that's right. We're just all awaiting on April 25th to get here to see what our Denver Broncos will do. Will they stay at 12? You know, that's the thing. And if they do, who will they select? So it's going to be interesting, and we all cannot wait to see what goes on. And again, thank you for coming in for that, Kevin. All right, let's see who else we got coming in. Got Ernie Mays. Thank you, Ernie, for coming in as always. My man, he says, "Hello, Ron, Dylan. Go Broncos country only." Yes. As you emphasize, Ernie, every week, we're the only fan base that matters. So thank you for coming in, my man, to true. Remind us of that. We appreciate it. All righty. Let's see who else we have coming in. Got the Papa Bear, David McElrath. Thank you, sir, for coming in. He says, "Good evening, Broncos country, Ron, Dylan, and Deacon Scott. Hashtag McCarthy Knicks Rattler." Ooh, I think that's a new one for you, David. I haven't seen the Rattler behind the hashtag as of recent. So that's interesting there. Hashtag Buckham times 3. Hashtag MHH for life. Hashtag Denver Broncos for life.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Thank you, David, for coming in. We appreciate it. So, Dylan, yeah, what do you think here on Rattler, the Rattler addition here to McElrath's wishes here at quarterback?
Yeah, there's some things to like about Rattler, and obviously one of the big detractors I've seen is his production and a little bit of knock on his size. But that South Carolina offensive line was absolutely dreadful. You put any of these quarterback prospects behind that line, they're not having any kind of success. And that's not to say that Rattler should be in the conversation for a top three or nothing. But I think he's got potential in this league. He's got a good arm, and I think he could do pretty good in Sean Payton's system. We'll see how he shakes out. He'd definitely be an option, assuming the Broncos don't take a guy in the first two rounds. He might go day two, I'd imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's so hard to evaluate Rattler. I mean, you see the flashes, you see the nice deep throws. You know, he can take off and run when anything's there. I would want him to kind of leverage the middle of the field a little bit more. But you're right. It's just so hard to kind of evaluate him just because that offensive line, as you mentioned, for the South Carolina Gamecocks, it was just atrocious. Mm-hmm. And he was running for his life. I mean, again, some of those wild plays you saw, he just had to get rid of the football. Like there was just no way. He just saw, you know, an open guy in his peripheral, and he just chucked it to him. Obviously, if Leggett was down there, he would just chuck it to Leggett.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just so hard. But, you know, even at the time in Oklahoma, he did have some, you know, before he got benched, he did have some pretty good plays. So it's just going to be interesting to see, you know, how the Broncos view him. You know, I think he's good, at least from what I've seen. I think he can make every throw. But you know, it's just, again, the on schedule, on time plays and leveraging the middle of the field. I guess I want to see more of that. And, you know, Peyton and team may think that can be coached, you know, and they may take a flyer on him in that third round, but we'll see what happens. But yeah, David, I'm right there with you that I wouldn't be opposed to, you know, Rattler coming to Denver, because there's some good tools there with Rattler. Now, I know some people don't see it, but I see good flashes, and I think that can be coached up for him to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Thank you, David, for coming in. All right, guys, so we want to get to our presenting sponsor for tonight, which is AG1. So the older I get, the more seriously I know I have to take care of my overall health, my overall diet, my overall nutrition. And here comes AG1 to help with that. So no matter what you do for a living, it can become all too convenient to rely on your Red Bull, your Starbucks, your Dunkin' Donuts for that extra energy and focus. But that's not great for your body, especially with the blood pressure. And there's always the dreaded crash with those as well. So with AG1, I get sustained energy. So I'm not reaching for another cup of coffee in the afternoon. On top of that, I can't stand swallowing all those big pills, those dynamic pills, for the multivitamins. So we all know how crucially important it is to take care of your gut health when it comes to the probiotics. AG1 checks all of those boxes, and it does so in an impressive fashion. Focus, energy, nutrition, and improve gut health all in one delicious smoothie. AG1 is some next level stuff. And it looks like we have some technical difficulties here with Dylan, but I'm pretty sure he'll hop back in here. Also, keep in mind that AG1 is a supplement that I trust to support my whole body health and help me feel my best. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs when you first subscribe. Go to drinkag1.com/huddle. That's drinkag1.com/huddle. Please check it out. All right, so we got your back here, Dylan.
Yeah. Yeah, a little oopsie with my Wi-Fi there, I guess.
No worries. It happens to all of us. No worries at all. All right, Dylan, so let's get into the topic tonight, where we have the topic streamed around. So positions that the Broncos should avoid in round one. And I know I've, again, there are some great prospects at this position, but, and I think I said it last week, that I'll be pissed if the Broncos go this position, but my number one position for the Broncos to avoid is cornerback. Now, you know, with cornerback, obviously, it would be nice to have someone that fans trust opposite of Patrick Surtain. But I feel as though if they were to go corner in the first round, that would just be such a reach, especially given how the rest of the roster is constructed right now. There's so many other needs. There's so many higher priority needs that the Broncos need to look at that corner just doesn't seem to fit. Now, again, Quinyon Mitchell, Terrion Arnold, those are great prospects. Don't get me wrong. They're excellent. But they just moved up last year for a Riley Moss. And you have to see what you have in Riley Moss. And I just feel as though like it just wouldn't have done them any good, like they're getting a corner first round this year when they just got one last year. And you have to see what he can do. So he has to be on the field and he has to see what he can do in order to kind of make that determination of if he is the starting cornerback opposite PS2 moving forward. But I just feel as though based on where this team is right now, Dylan, and some of the other needs, corner just doesn't fit the bill, at least for the number 12 or a first round pick at all.
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement with you there. There's, and like you mentioned, there's a lot of corners in this first round that I absolutely love. Quinyon Mitchell, Terrion Arnold, Kool-Aid McKinstry, great player, great name.
Yeah.
And Cooper DeJean, you know, these are all guys that I would like to be Broncos, but using a first-round pick, using more draft picks, when you already moved up, like you mentioned, for Riley Moss, you use the third-round pick to go get him. You can't just be recklessly using draft capital like that and not playing those players. And it would be even more irresponsible to use your first pick, whether it's 12 or even if they move down, to take another corner. They better see the field, because we know Vance Joseph has a tendency to not play his rookie defenders. So I just think it overall be really irresponsible to use your first selection on a corner, and, you know, just so many resources already being put into there. It's just it would be very irresponsible.
Yeah. And, you know, I understand, guys, right? The corner is a premium position, just like quarterback, just like edge. But to have your first round selection be a cornerback, especially when there are other needs on this roster, for sure. I just don't see corner is one of those things where you can really address in one of the later rounds. It's a later round group that definitely needs to be looked at, because we know Damari Mathis, again, there were high hopes, but honestly, Dylan, I don't see Damari Mathis improving. I don't. And then again, you have a Riley Moss that you just need to get him out on the field more just to see what you have. But we'll see. All righty. Let's see who else we have in the chat.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We got Flat Earth Trini coming in. This is a new name for me. Thank you for showing some support here. Thank you. He says, they got something cooking up. I think we trade Surtain Sutton to move up and steal a quarterback. That's interesting there, Flat Earth. I don't know. Now, you know, with... I don't know about Surtain. I still think, Dylan, they're going to try their best to keep Surtain. Trading Surtain, guys, it's going to be hard for the Broncos to move away from Surtain. But Sutton, maybe. I see Sutton maybe as a sweetener of a deal. You know, and then again, he may not even go. I think I heard, Dylan, that he might be going, they're trying to get a second round for Sutton. I'm just like, that's not going to happen. I mean, he was a second round. That's not going to happen. So I see Sutton maybe being put in as a cherry on top, as a deal sweetener to move up. So you might be right there, Flat Earth Trini. You know, let's say, you know, that the Patriots are the team that wants to do business with Broncos, and the Broncos move up to number 3. Obviously, it's going to cost, you know, several future first-round picks, and then maybe some mid-rounders, and then maybe you put in Sutton there to sweeten up the deal. You know, I can see that happening. But I think Flat Earth, it's Sertan's. They're going to try to keep on Sertan, but Sutton can definitely be in a package to potentially move up.
Yeah, I don't want to say off limits for Sertan, but as far as I've been seeing reported by insiders who know infinitely more than me and are closer to the organization, that Sertan's not going to get moved. I'd be hard pressed to think they'd be give up such a valuable player. I know he's a corner. I understand, you know, he's been here and he's been very successful, but that hasn't translated to playoff wins. That's why we need a quarterback. Sean Payton would really have to love whoever is he's going up for. And personally, I think the way it shakes out is you get Caleb going number one, you get Jayden Daniels going two, and then three is either McCarthy or May. I don't know that the Patriots trade out of that spot. So then you're looking at the Cardinals at four, and here's the Vikings who could outbid you. The Giants are a dark horse to take a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Depending on who's there, they might like a guy and they say, hey, we're only here at six, you know, we just moved down a spot or whatever, and the Cardinals can still get a premium receiver there. You know, that's what they're in the market for. Maybe Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, whatever. I do think Sutton could be a part of a package to move, but it's just really hard to say. Like, there's been talks either way. Are they going to move up? Are they going to stay put? Are they going to go down? We don't really know. And that's what made this draft cycle especially intriguing.
Yeah, that it's the flat earth. There's just the concept of the unknown. You know, I call this time like lion season, where you see so many different reports. You see, you know, all these rumors, all these speculations, things on X and online, and it's just like, what do you believe? Like, what's going on? And you're right, Dylan. I mean, I know there were talks that Patriots and Cardinals open for business, but they can, you know, Patriots can say right there at three and grab a Drake May if he's there, or grab a JJ McCarthy if he likes him, you know. And so who knows what's going to happen? And they're going to have to get that offer that blows them away. Now, we know that, you know, the Vikings are, that they have more ammo right now to move up. So that's what you're facing here, Flat Earth, is, yeah, we could trade a Sertan and or Sutton, but, you know, will that even be enough, depending on what Minnesota comes with at the table? Because they already have two first-round picks this year. You know, so we just don't know. And then who – we know that Minnesota, they love Drake May, but – you know, again, it's going to depend on who's there, because I know there are talks of Jayden Daniels going number two, but I know I've also heard things of Drake May still be at number two, right? So, again, there's so many different reports out there that we just don't know who's going to be there, and obviously who's going to be there is going to determine if the Broncos make a move up or if they stay put at 12, so... But thank you for coming in. Just wanted to grab that. I appreciate it. Then we got Phil McLaughlin coming in. Thank you, Phil. We always appreciate you, my guy. He says, good evening, Ron and Dylan. Seems like both Sean and George keep saying they want Sutton to stay. So maybe they restructure with same length, but more upfront money, and that way saving on cap space. Hashtag Buckham, hashtag Go Broncos. Yeah, Phil, I think this is what's going to happen. I really do think that this, I think at the end of the day, they know what Sutton's meant to this team and what Sutton's production was last year. And I think that they're going, because again, they can definitely keep the same length in terms of the years and the contract. It's just that more guaranteed money that Sutton's looking for. And I think at the end of the day, all this will be settled by a restructure to give him more guaranteed money up front. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I think they genuinely want to keep him around, because whether it's a rookie quarterback or it's a veteran like Tannehill, or, you know, they, for whatever reason, decides to them, they want to roll with him. That veteran option at receiver is going to be so valuable for whoever is under center. And it, like you said, he had amazing production last season, especially in the touchdown department. Obviously, his yards were lacking a bit, and I attribute that to inconsistent quarterback play. But I definitely think there's mutual interest in sticking around. But again, Sutton wants that security, and $2 million is not enough for him to feel safe, to keep his roster spot safe.
Yep. 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 Thank you, Phil, for that comment. We appreciate you, my man, as always. Let's see who else we have. Let's see here. We got Mike Naylor coming in. Well, first let me grab this one. Mike, hey guys, great show. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mike Naylor, for coming. We appreciate it. And he says, fit is going to be everything for these QBs. Yeah, that, Mike, you hit the nail on the head. That's really what this is going to come down to. Like, the success of these quarterbacks is going to be determined by where they go. Who's coaching, who's calling the plays, what the scheme is. And I mean, let's look at it from a Broncos perspective of, you know, a lot of people are poo-pooing on Bo Nix to the Broncos. And it's like, I don't understand, because I think what Sean Payton's expecting out of his quarterback, Bo Nix fits it. But Bo Nix is your guy. On schedule, on time, you know, can do things pre-snap. And Dylan, when I've been looking at some Bo Nix tape, you know, because one of my things, well, a few of my things with Bo Nix has been, you know, those short screen passes, those, and also not being as mobile as he should, but he's a little bit more mobile than you think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that can definitely be helpful in the NFL. So, I'm actually liking Nix more as we go along. Again, it's all about the fit, Mike, to what you're just saying here. The fit of what Nix is able to do, as far as know what the defense is showing you, can get the ball out quick and on time, you know, can extend plays when necessary. Nix fits it. And so I think if Nix were to come to Denver, I think it's going to be a match made in heaven.
Yeah, and all we need is that mutual love from Sean Payton. You know, we're not entirely sure who his guy is in the draft. Obviously, they said they like 7-8 quarterbacks in the presser, but I think we know Sean has his guy in this draft class. He's got to love at least one, maybe two of these guys. And signs might point to Nix, like you mentioned, his processing, on-schedule throwing, and the quick game. Those are all things that Sean Payton values in his offense. And will he take him at 12? Maybe. Will he move back and take him? We don't know. It just depends on how much he likes him. And yeah, fit is definitely everything. A lot of these quarterbacks, I do worry about New England and, you know, their offensive coordinator, what weapons they have there. And I'm less worried about, say, like the Vikings with O'Connell. I think he's a great offensive head coach, and they have the weapons there. Defense has gotten better. So, yeah, fit is going to be huge for all of these quarterbacks coming up.
Yeah, then with Minnesota, you know, you don't have to rush Drake May in, you know, if he gets there, because, you know, they have Sam Darnold. You know, they can maybe have May, maybe he can sit behind, you know, Sam Darnold and maybe wait a year to kind of develop a little bit more and go. But, well, you know, we'll see. But, you know, again, it's – you're right. You're right, Mike. You're right on the head. It's because, you know, we know that Caleb Williams is – talked about as this generational prospect, but, and I mean, Chicago has gotten better on the offensive side. I mean, they've added I know they got Keenan Allen now with DJ Moore and Cole Kmet. So, I mean, they have pieces there, but again, it's going to be the play calling there, and you'll see with the Bears. So, again, yeah, to your point, Mike, it's going to be everything where they land. Thanks for coming in, my man. We appreciate that. All right, let's see who else we have coming in. Got Gary Palmer coming in. Thanks, Gary. We appreciate it, my guy. He says, hi, Ron, Dylan, and Scott. Hashtag any QB you want, Sean. Yeah, I mean, that's what it's going to be, Gary. Whoever Sean wants, he's going to get. You know, again, in terms of maybe being a little bit realistic, maybe not Caleb Williams, but I would say, you know, these other ones for sure. You know, if they want to move up for a May or McCarthy, sure. You know, if they want to get Knicks or if they want to get Rattler, I think. And Gary, you heard it at the presser. They like 7 or 8 quarterbacks. They think 7 or 8 can be starters in the league, and it's whoever Sean Payton wants, he can get. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they navigate this. Of do they go QB in the first round? Who's there when they choose in the first round? You know, if they want to say, hey, let's wait for a little bit because we think a Penix or Knicks will be available later, so we want to just kind of pause for a bit, or they're okay with maybe waiting even longer for a Rattler. Right, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. But again, I think I trust Sean Payton, and his scouting, you know, his scouting with George Payton's help and their scouts, and if they think that, you know, they are 7 to 8 starters and they can pick anyone and make them a franchise quarterback, I trust it.
Yeah, thank you for hopping in, Gary. We really appreciate it. I agree with you on pretty much everything there. It's as long as Sean gets his guy at quarterback, I'll be happy. Depending on who they pick, you know, maybe I have a guy, I'm lower on a guy or higher on another guy. If Sean Payton takes him, I'm fully behind it because that's who he believes he can mold to be the future of the franchise. And I'm just not going to question it until, you know, we see the product on the field with whomever he takes.
Yep. Great. Thank you, Gary, for coming with that. We appreciate it. All right. Let's see who else we have coming in. We got Dills Pooley coming in. New name for me. Thank you for coming in. Appreciate it. He says, hurry, we might go tight end. Was mad at first until I seen Brock Bowers' highlights. He's him. Trade up for him. what do you think there, Dylan? I'll let you take this one first. What are your thoughts on, I guess, maybe the trading up for a Brock Bowers?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Brock Bowers. I do really like him. I would not trade up for him. I think I'd rather think the Jets are very interested in him, but I wouldn't trade anything to move up for a tight end. You know, I'd rather if you're going to take Bowers, I'd stick at 12 and go that route, but he is undoubtedly very talented. The Broncos need that security blanket for whoever's under center, and our tight end room is barren. It's terrible right now. And you got Adam Trautman, who's pedestrian, you know, or anything behind that. Greg Dulcich can't stay on the field, and then just unknown after that. So Bowers, he looked pretty good in the orange and blue. You know, I'm not sure what the orange and blue is going to look like this season with the new jerseys and whatnot. We'll see those on Monday, but yeah, I could get on board with it. And just like I said, even with the quarterbacks, if Sean Payton's picking him, he's got a vision for it. And while tight end wouldn't be a priority for me, I could understand why he might lean that way.
Yeah, and this gets into, thank you, Dills, for coming back in. And this gets into one of our other groups that we think that the Broncos should avoid in round one. Now, we're going to do a little bit of a caveat to this to say what you just said here, Dills, like, if it's Brock Bowers, take him. At 12, though, I'm with Dylan here, Dills, in the fact that I don't want to trade up for a Brock Bowers. But if he somehow just falls in the lap of the Denver Broncos, you run that card up there real quick for Goodell to say his name for Denver. I mean, he is just that's how. I mean, I think I watch Brock Bowers highlights every week. I you know, just because of what he's just a great, talented player overall. Like what he can do, like you said, security blanket, can stretch the field, can block. There's just so many different qualities that he can bring to boost this tight end room. So yeah, this bully, I'm right there with you. And the fact that if again, tight end isn't one of those ones I want to get it in round one, but if Brock Bowers falls in your lap, get him. But again, I wouldn't trade up for him because, again, there is a chance that he might be there because, you know, I know the Jets just – I know they signed some few offensive linemen in the offseason, but I think they got a – is it they got Tyron Smith from Dallas? I believe they did.
Yep.
And so, I mean, I know that he's injury prone and there could be some injuries and they may want to make sure that Aaron Rodgers gets as much protection as he can, so they may go offensive line with the 10th pick. Although I know the offensive line class is deep, but you know they might go offensive line with that pick, and then who knows? Brock Bowers could fall right there for Denver. But yeah, I'm right there with you, Dills Bully, of how great Brock Bowers is. Again, I'm on the fence of getting best player available, and I think he would be a candidate for that for sure at pick 12. Alrighty. Let's see who else we have.
I think we got some stars here from our good friend Lawrence.
Got some Facebook stars. Lawrence Rivera coming in. Thank you, my guy. He says, what up, guys? Hopefully our new jersey doesn't have the triangles on it. No. That makes it look like rhinestones. But happy 420, me and the kids got out in the snow today. That's good. That's good. You and the kids got out today, and hopefully you're enjoying this 420, however you celebrate it. but yeah, what are your thoughts there on the jerseys, Dylan?
Well, so yeah, I've seen some of the leaks from. Is that Antonio Brown's like news page, CTESPN, I believe?
I don't know if it's his page or if he's affiliate. I know he's affiliated in some capacity. I'm okay. Not sure if it's his or whatnot, but yeah.
Yeah, because they leaked, I believe they leaked the Texans jerseys, just like those little mock-ups. I don't know what you call it.
Yeah.
And then they released these Broncos ones, and then you have with the insider Ben Albright saying it's about 95% kind of there, and I'm like, oh great, and maybe they'll look good with pads, you know, like because obviously it's like a little rendition of it. It's like computer or AI generated, so you don't really know how it's gonna look with pads and you know the helmet and stuff. But yeah, I did see that picture with it was like this big like arrow on the back of the helmet, and then it's got little triangles in it. And I was like, what is that? And Damani Leach asked for suggestions from fans on Twitter or X. And I'm not sure what consideration got put into that from the fans. Cause I did not see one fan suggest more triangles.
Yeah. I don't know what they were thinking on that. Like what made them think that was a good idea. And you know, I get, and I guess, but yeah, And yeah, I guess I'm not one. I think Kelberman says it best, where I'm not really into like the jerseys and the designs. I don't really care too much, but I will say, like, when some of these designs look horrible, mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, I don't want the Broncos going out. Mm-hmm. I don't feel looking like that. So yeah, but you know, we'll see. You know,
I get the sentiment. You know, I was like, oh, you know, I don't really care what they look like as long as they win. I'm like, I kind of do, because I don't need to have an eyesore on the TV. But also, you know, when you're going out with your buddies or you're going on a date and you dress up, you feel nice, you dress good, feel good. And I feel like that's the same thing for these players. It's like a confidence boost thing. It's like Superman putting on the cape. So the players definitely want to look good. I don't think it's like a huge element of, you know, wins and losses or anything, but I think it's a big confidence boost for players.
Yeah. And I did see one, I think it was like the 5280 on the pants. Did you see that?
I think that's, yeah, I saw like a meme version of one. I heard the 5280 is on, I want to say the all whites, but I could be misremembering that.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, man. Only got a couple, Monday. So yeah, a couple days.
We got a few days to figure it out. But yeah, it's just, when I see these designs, I'm like, this is just not, no. Yeah. All right. But thank you, Lawrence, for coming. And you know, we always appreciate you, my guy. And then we got Lonnie Alexander. No name for me, but thank you for coming in, my guy. He says, great job as usual, Ron and Dylan. I'm so glad that we finally will get to see the draft unfold on Thursday night. Yes. Yes, Lonnie. We all can't wait. You know, all the speculation, all the rumors, lies will be put to bed. We finally get to see who the Broncos will draft in the first round. And it's good, because this will be the first time in a while that the Broncos have had that first round selection. So that's even more exciting. But yep, can't wait for Thursday. Thursday can't come fast enough, my guy.
Yeah, it's definitely the most interesting draft cycle for the Broncos, especially in quite a while. Because, you know, once you get Russell Wilson, you think, hey, we got the quarterback spot solved, and we'll make it work without the first round picks, and that hasn't really been the case, because we're now back on that QB carousel that they show in the primetime games whenever the Broncos
play. Oh my god, that shredded carousel. Man, I just hate when they
do that. Getting real sick going circles every year, man.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Lonnie, for coming back, and we appreciate it. All right, let's see. Oh, got Phil again. Oh, McLaughlin. He says, I've decided we will not take a first-round QB, but grab Rattler or Penix possibly later. Take Bowers or Turner at 12. Well, Phil, I'm right there with you, Phil. Except with the last portion. Now, yeah, if Bowers is there, yes, I think the Broncos will take him. I just don't think Turner's not going to be there at 12. Mm. I have a feeling that Turner's going to probably go Atlanta. I think it's number 8.
Yep.
And I think that's where Turner's going to go. Now, I wouldn't be mad if they do focus on edge at 12. Let's say, forget a whole trade back. Let's just get the pick straight up at 12. Mm-hmm. If they get a verse or a Latu at 12, I'm fine. It addresses best player available at that position with need. So I'll be perfectly fine with any of those two at 12. And I do think, I think with the quarterback, yeah, Rattler will be there, I think, third round when they pick at 76. Well, I don't know. It depends. There might be some buzz on Rattler that they may have to trade up a little bit for potentially. But I think Rattler could definitely be a possibility. I think with Penix, I've been hearing varying things. Maybe second round. Again, if the Broncos like him enough, they may try to squeak into that second round at some point. to get him. But yeah, I do think, Phil, based on what we heard at the presser, I think best player available based on the positional value is going to be selected at 12 and then grab QB later.
Yeah, there's a scenario where even if a Penix is there, I think Penix for sure will be there at 12, but Nix or Penix, there's a scenario where Sean Payton's like, you know, I like these guys, but I don't love them in the first round. I don't want to spend a first round pick on them. I'd rather either get an offensive tackle for when Garrett Bowles is gone in a year or so, or, you know, even in just as an insurance policy because McGlinchey can't stay healthy either. Or, hey, I want to get that dynamic edge rusher to give Patrick Surtain more of a cushion, or the secondary as a whole for that matter. Or like you have here Bowers as well. I want a weapon for whatever quarterback I bring in. Maybe that is a Rattler later or a Penix later. It's just, I don't think it's a sure thing as people think with quarterback in the first round. Like, obviously, big need, huge need. This team needs a quarterback. But does Sean Payton really love them enough at 12 or even maybe in a trade down? But at 12, it's hard for me to see it. And I think, and everyone knows this, Sean, he could be a little arrogant. You know, he's big headed. Maybe he thinks, hey, I could make it work with Rattler. Let's, or a Penix, or, you know, someone day two, day three, and we can build up the trenches or grab a Bowers or an edge rusher. And just, he's like, I can make it work. I don't need this first round quarterback. Forget that. I'm going to take an edge rusher or what have you.
Yeah, Phil. I mean, again, I'm all on board with your with what you're thinking here. You know, I think it's a good strategy. And again, I just trust Payton. It boils down to the fact that I trust Sean Payton. And you know, positional value, those obviously quarterback is one, but you gotta address edge. Edge is just one of those positions. The Broncos, they need an alpha dog. They just don't have that right now. So grabbing a Latu or a Verse at 12, I'd be fine with. Mm-hmm. And then Adam Strange comes in. I want to address this as well. Thank you, Adam. He says, what about an offensive tackle at 12? I wouldn't be mad at an OT at 12. I think it just depends on who it is. Now, mm-hmm. Let's say Joe Alt falls. Let's say Joe Alt falls to 12, Adam. Oh, I'm getting him. I'm getting him. Like, you can't. Now, I know with some of the other ones, like J.C. Latham, you can talk me into a J.C. Latham at 12. I think he's more on that around 15 to 20-ish, although I think the Raiders might get him. I think the mm-hmm. Raiders are right at 13. So J.C. Latham, Fashanu as well. So, again, you can talk me into some of those at 12. I'd be a little happier moving back a few spots to pick up second-round pick and maybe trying to take one of them. I'll be more elated there. But I wouldn't be mad because, again, it's one of those premium positions, and we don't know, you know, the future with Bowles. So you're looking at it from a future perspective of drafting an offensive tackle. But yeah, I'll be open to that for sure, Adam.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of fans that are opposed to this just because it's not the fun pick.
Not sexy.
It's not. And, you know, maybe you have to move on from McGlinchey later and you slot in whoever it is, a Mims, a Joe Alt, or whatever. And then, like we mentioned before, with Bowles, we don't know what his future is like here. And if you draft a tackle, maybe you could trade Bowles, you get a day two pick, then you could go get your quarterback. Yeah, it's not the fun pick. It's not the sexy pick. But I'm definitely not opposed to taking a tackle there. And like you mentioned, kind of depends on who it is. I think I'd rather try and move down a little bit, maybe the late teens. I know that's been mentioned before by some of our other hosts. Late teens, like maybe with the Rams or something around 18, 19. Yep. I'd be cool with moving back there and taking a tackle. But at 12, I'd really have to see who would be there.
Yeah. Yeah, again, like those top three, like for Shanu, Latham, you can maybe, again, all for sure, I'm taking at 12. Mm-hmm. Shanu, Jaden, you have to kind of talk me into it. I have to be in love. And again, even if that was the pick, I wouldn't be mad. Mm-hmm. I'm a big Amarius Mims fan. But I think with Mims, you know, you can move back and still get him. Like mm-hmm. maybe 18, 19, like you mentioned, right, with the Rams, maybe a trade there. And get them, but yeah, Adam. I guess to answer your question overall, maybe depends on who's there at 12. But you know, overall in the first round, an offensive tackle, I wouldn't be mad. It'll be better than corner for sure. Be better than corner. Thank you, my guy, coming in with that. All right, guys. Looks like we're at the 52-minute mark, so about to start winding down here. Let's see who else we have in the chat. Oh, looks like we got Phil. Tom McLaughlin, thank you, Phil. It says, guys, if we keep 12, what does it take to get into the second? I'll let you take this one over first, Dylan. What's capital? How will we manage this if you want to get back in second to potentially get that QB?
Well, like we talked at the start of the show, maybe that's Sutton, but I don't think you get a second straight up for him. I think you'd probably have to do Sutton and some picks or a pick swap somewhere. It's a tough situation not having a second round pick, and this is where trading back in the first would really help. But in this situation, if we're staying at 12, you're going to probably have to involve a player in there, whether it be a Bowles if they take a tackle at 12, or Sutton and a pick or two, maybe a pick from next year, whatever, something late round, a pick swap. It's just hard to see without trading back in the first round, because if you're staying at 12, there's nothing really besides players and other picks to move into that second round.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think it's, yeah, a player for sure. Maybe next some picks from the 2025 draft, a pick or two we're talking. Maybe next year's second or third. Maybe you package up a few thirds. I don't know. I got to look at the Broncos picks for next year. But, yeah, something like that, Phil, is what we're looking at to maybe get into the second. And you're right. I think the only players, if you want to add it in, yeah, Sutton and Bowles would be the only two players that you can use as a part of that package to get back into the second. So you're looking at that kind of from the top of my head, Phil. We probably want to. I know there's that that draft trade chart that's out there that we maybe can kind of look into, if maybe leading up to it, to see kind of what that value is, what they would have to give up. But I'm thinking that would be at least those for starters. Some next year's picks in a player for sure. All righty. Let's see. Just perusing the chat to see if there's anyone I've missed.
I see some talk about, let's see. Talk about Penix.
Penix. Yeah. Okay, so there's something wrong with Penix at 12. I think, Jill Swilly, there's still questions on Penix. Now, again, Penix, don't get me wrong, Penix is a great prospect. You know, he, I mean, the deep ball, Dylan, I mean, just how he throws it, it's just, I think he's the best throw of the ball in this class. He is. But then you look at other things, Bill Spoolie, and I think that's what's going to cause some pause for a lot of these teams, of how he is under pressure. You know, does he attack the middle of the field consistently? And also, I mean, I know he was cleared medically, but the injuries are still a concern for some of these teams. So when you look at these factors, Bill Spoolie, it's, I think it causes a lot to where as though they don't feel comfortable taking him at 12. Now, you know, you do have the quarterback premium that's there where teams just need a quarterback. So the top four off the board, then you may see like the Raiders and maybe some of these other teams kind of go and get them maybe in those middle round of the first round. Sorry, mid picks of the first round. But I think at 12, given, you know, what Sean Payton wants as far as, you know, attacking the middle of the field. And again, I still do think the injuries play a factor into this. I just don't see the Broncos pulling the trigger on Penix at 12. Now, you know, if he's there later on, let's say second round, you know, they get a Bowers or they get an edge rusher, they miss out on Nix. Okay. Second round, if they can get into the second round at some point, get a Penix, for sure. But I just think those are some important reasons. Those are some concerns as to why, you know, Penix probably wouldn't be an option at 12.
Yeah. Like you mentioned, the pressure, he wasn't pressured a whole lot. And Washington had a great offensive line, but when he was, he looked pretty shaky. And it's also once he gets out of the pocket, I know, and I've talked about this a lot with on social media with people who disagree that, like, oh, well Penix ran a, what was it, a 4.4, something like that?
Yeah.
4.5. And I was like, oh, he's fast. I was like, okay, he had 8 rushing yards last season. Don't care. Don't care how fast he can run a straight line because he doesn't do it. And and when he's on the run, he isn't terribly accurate. And like you mentioned, he needs to work that middle of the field. It's eerily similar to Russell Wilson. He's got that deep shot, and he can bomb those. That's great. But can you throw over the middle of the field consistently? And that's something that Sean Payton really asks of his quarterbacks, to throw over the middle of the field. And that's why this offense looked so weird last season, because you have Russell Wilson, who's practically afraid to do just that. So, and that's where the Russ comparison ends. Russ is more mobile than Penix at this point. I just don't see him being in play at 12. Now, the Raiders being the Raiders, I know they're interested in Penix, and they're not shy of making picks that no one really expects. Like, I could see them taking Penix or that corner from Clemson, Nate Wiggins. He's super Wiggins. Fast. Mm-hmm. I that feels like a Raiders pick to me. But I don't think Penix is worthy of that 12th selection there.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he comes in. Yeah, it makes sense. I'm a little, yeah, the injury. And I think, again, deals with that. That's the biggest thing. I really think it's the injury history. That's what a lot of teams are concerned about. So we'll see how it all shakes out. Before we go, I know we didn't get to one of the position groups, and I want to briefly touch on it, Dylan, before we go.
Sure.
And that's the wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Now it could be, depending on what happens with Courtland Sutton. You know, we did have this as one guy's that, team the Broncos maybe want to avoid. And then, of course, that was given that, you know, Sutton's going to remain now with the pickup of Josh Reynolds and Timmy P coming back, that there wasn't a need to prioritize for first round. But again, depending on what happens with Sutton, that that might be something that, you know, the Broncos look into. And again, the wide receiver class, it's pretty good and pretty deep. I even with the Sutton thing, I don't see them going to get first round. But you know, there are plenty, Malachi Corley and Luke McCaffrey and Brandon Rice, and you know, they're quite, I think Javon Baker, there are a lot of there are a lot of wide receivers. I'm a big Pearsall guy as well. Mm-hmm. I'm a big Ladd McConkey fan. So again, I can rattle off wide receivers all day, but there mm-hmm. are quite a few wide receivers that the Broncos probably can look at targeting, you know, if they were to somehow get a second round pick in the second round and third and beyond. But again, I just don't think it's something first round that they should concentrate on.
Yeah, no, before they signed Josh Reynolds, I was like, maybe a possibility if they trade way back. I'm not talking like late teens, I'm talking like mid to late 20s. Mm-hmm. Then I was like, okay, yeah, because same thing with Sutton. It's like maybe you end up wanting to trade him, or you're not confident with him going forward in these next couple of years. Like, it's not like he's going to be here long term, and maybe you want to draft that guy and get a dynamic weapon to pair with Mims going forward. But yeah, now with Josh Reynolds signing, chances went down. And then obviously we're not sure what's going to happen with Sutton. I kind of lean towards them keeping him. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, it's a stacked class, like you mentioned. There's no need to use a first round pick on a receiver.
Yep. That's all right. But thank you. And then we always want to close out the show with our guy here, Mr. Michael Ronquillo. Thank you for coming in. Says good evening, Ron and Dylan on Orange and Blue View. Go Broncos. Thank you, Mike. You know it always means a lot to us for you coming in. We appreciate it, my guy. And then he also mentions no more QB in the first round. I am tired of the quarterback. Yeah.
I don't want one anymore. We've been talking about it too much. Yeah.
Mike, we're right there with you, man. Like, we are just ready for the draft to come. Like, we just want to see what the Broncos will do. We're tired of QB talk. We just want them to build up this roster, get their quarterback, and let's move on. So I'm right there with you, man. All right. Just kind of looking to see if we missed anyone. I don't think we one more. Let's see. All right, guys. Well, that concludes tonight's episode of the Orange and Blue View. It has been great to talk to you guys as always. You know, we appreciate everyone. Make sure you subscribe, like, and share on the YouTube channel, and of course across all the platforms. You know, we'd appreciate it. And if you haven't, please follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Ron White NFL, and then my partner here at Dylan Vaughn Arts MHH. And of course, just ask any questions on any prospects, Broncos. You know, we'll check it out and make sure we respond accordingly. Before we get out of here, Dylan, do you have any parting words for the community tonight?
Yeah, thanks for joining us another Saturday night. And I just want to specifically thank people who came in on YouTube and Facebook and donated tonight. David McIlrath, Gary Palmer. And then on the Facebook side, we have, of course, Phil McLaughlin, Lawrence Rivera, and Michael Ronquillo, who always shows us the door.
Thank you, guys. Yes. We appreciate it as always. All right, guys. Well, we will wrap it up. And again, counting down the days until April 25th, until the Broncos are on the clock. So stay tuned. We will see what happens. And of course, there'll be more to come as far as you know, the draft coverage, which we'll, of course, keep you guys updated on. In other words, go Broncos. Have a great night.
Go Broncos.